Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Hello, and welcome to the Sloppy Joes podcast. Yes, I'm introing it today so that I can click this button and go wide to show Joe.
Go wide!
And my mum.
Yay!
Oh, we've done it!
Ethan's mum, ladies and gentlemen.
Mum's in the house. How are
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's so good to have you. We're so excited to see. We've got so many questions for you because Ethan is one of the most enigmatic,
yes,
difficult to pin down, brilliant people I've ever met.
Of course.
So we need to find out how Ethan came to be and just exactly what Ethan was like growing up. So yeah, we've got a series of questions for you, if you're happy to answer them.
Not how he came to be. We're not are we?
No. Okay. Unless you want to be. Right. Do you want to know?
Yeah, would you like to know?
No.
No.
Let's start slightly beyond that.
How do you think Ethan's feeling right now?
He's probably terrified that I'm going to show him up. But I will try very hard not to.
How are you feeling, Ethan?
I've been a bit anxious about this all day, and
you were walking around with your fist clenched a minute ago.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you, is there anything, and you don't have to bring it up because obviously this is Ethan's right, but is there anything Ethan's asked you not to bring up?
No, actually, he hasn't.
Do you regret that, Ethan?
I've lived quite a few years, so I can't really remember pinpoint any story specifically that I'm nervous about. But no, I think my mum knows pretty much everything about us, so take it away.
Well, oh, should we start from the beginning? Yeah. Ethan, the little toddler, the baby that was Ethan, what was he like?
What was he like? Very small.
Was he?
Was he?
What did he
very
weigh?
Small. Oh, he was only £5, 11 ounces.
Cheap. Even in them days, that's good.
He was, yeah.
I'd have tagged him in money back, though.
If you'd have known what he turned out, you might have wanted your money back in him, but a fiver? For a baby?
A bargain.
A bargain, that, by anyone's money.
A bargain. And actually, a poorly baby.
Oh,
so he wasn't
it?
Very well. He was in and out of the hospital quite a bit.
Oh, Ethan.
Yeah, so a bit of sympathy there.
Yeah.
But once he got beyond that, from being tiny, funny.
Was he?
Quirky. Oh,
yeah. Love it.
Quirky.
He's funny. He didn't look at him.
Yeah, he was.
He's
so quirky. He was a quirky kid.
Ethan, what's your earliest memory? Like, do you remember something off the top of your head?
Earliest memory? I remember being in my childminder's corridor and looking down the corridor and hearing noise in the kitchen. I remember that.
What?
Like you were locked in the corridor?
Yeah, I remember being put down the corridor and I was asleep and I was like shouting and that, but no one could hear us, so I was just left down the corridor.
Does this atmosphere come across on the podcast, these eerie sentences from Ethan that just lead us down?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder now if I should raise a safeguarding alert about this woman.
class Debbie.
Debbie.
I used to go to a person's house after school called Debbie as well. She was my childminder.
Oh, might have been the same one.
Did you get put in a corridor?
No, but I did run into a doorframe so hard once that I was sick. That was a bad day. I remember that.
Sounds like a bad day.
Sorry, to be fair, with the childminder, there were three little boys all the same age. And she used to have them on, you know, those reins that you put children on? Yeah. So she'd have all three of them like little Rottweilers running in different directions along the pavement.
Like when you see someone who walks
back.
Dogs for a living.
Yes.
Yeah. Got like six different leads.
Yeah.
Ethan was one of those leads.
Yeah.
What was his first words?
Oh, probably mum.
Yeah, to me, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he Geordie as well, quite early?
Oh, yeah, he was always a Geordie. Yeah, I have to train you two up. I'm Ethan's mum, not Ethan's mum.
Oh, yeah, he's got you saved as mum in his phone.
Yeah, yeah.
M-A-M.
One of his early words was Winnie the Pooh. Oh.
Winnie the Pooh?
I'm sure
Winnie
wasn't saying, poo. I need a Pooh.
We need a Pooh. Did you?
Well, I think it was Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, did you still love Winnie the Pooh, Ethan?
Like, there's Eeyore. Quite like Eeyore. Piglet, he's quite a character.
Anyone else from
Tigger?
That?
Tigger, yeah.
Tigger was good.
Yeah, I know.
We started off quite civil here, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Do you watch the podcast?
I do.
What do you make? I'm just going to jump straight into it. What do you make of Ethan's bleeding, if you will? Do you know about this?
Bleeding?
Just say he's bleeding bum all.
When he goes to the toilet, he has a bit of trouble with bleeding. What do you make of that? Is that something a mother should hear?
There's a lot of things that Ethan says a mother should not hear, to be fair. And he says, I know him really well. There were quite a few things I didn't know.
Oh, really?
What's been the biggest surprise?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. What's the biggest surprise that you learned from listening to the podcast?
I think how much bother he gets into in pubs. In
he's a right menace on a night out, isn't he?
He's aggressive.
He is. You weren't raised like that, Ethan.
He was never raised to be violent and to threaten people in crowds.
It's not threatening. It's not threatening.
So what did you go on then, Ethan? Defend yourself. What is it when you've got a drink in you? You know, things. One thing leads to another quite often, doesn't it?
No, it's not. I'm just on the defensive all the time, you see. It's never caused by me. I'm just... When you're like I said, I've always been a small man. You've just got to have a little bit of a fight about you to make it in this world, this dog world.
Was he always like that as a kid?
What, fighting?
Yeah, no, it's like he had a bit of fight about him, like he was ready to take on the world.
Do you know what? I really hate to admit it, but I think he gets that from me.
Does he, yeah?
Oh. Yeah, I think there were occasions when I had to go in and stick up for him and fight his corner. And maybe he kind of learned that behaviour from me.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Does it have anything to do with the nativity? Is that a completely different story? You mentioned the nativity.
That's a different story. There's lots of school stories, but there was one occasion where there was a problem with a teacher when he was at primary school. And
did he pour a pint on him when he got
his
didn't. Jacket?
He didn't. He got upset. He got upset. He was upset because this teacher had moved him away from his friends and had moved him down a set in maths. This is at primary school, and he'd been put on the table where he perceived he was with the clever kids anymore.
Thick table.
So
next to me.
But he came home really upset.
Hey, come on, get down here with me.
So I decided I would go in and sort out the teacher.
Sort out?
Because I wasn't happy with the way he had dealt with it.
See where it comes from, Ethan.
Off I went.
You act so surprised. Yeah. I don't know where he gets it from. Anyway, I went in.
Yeah. Off I went down the drive of the school, and I could see the head teacher's blinds were waving as she spotted me. And she came running down the stairs to catch me at the door.
She met you halfway.
Before I booled into the school to sort out the teacher.
So did you get him back up a set? What happened?
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah.
I moved him back straight away. They apologised.
Do you remember that, Ethan?
I do remember... Mr. Thompson, I do remember feeling quite upset around him. I didn't know that my mum went and sorted it out. There's another one that I recall of my mum sorting someone out. There was a kid called who I've not seen this kid in maybe.
Anonymous.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's anonymous. I don't know of him anymore. He's called Brett, and I remember playing on the street and with my friends and that I used to hang out with. And Brett came over and was making fun of my teeth because my teeth used to be, I think, 13 millimetres out my mouth. And he was,
what?
Yeah, he was called. He was
How do you know that so specifically?
Because he used to measure. Probably the dentist.
The orthodontist said that, Drew.
What, like sticking straight forward?
Sticking out, like my front two teeth.
Sticking out.
Sticking
out.
Like bunny teeth.
Yeah.
Was it cute?
Yeah, but like
he he was cute, but it was a real genuine issue. So sort of Bugs Bunny type effect.
Well, exactly. So
he comes over and you say, "What's up, Doc?" Obviously.
Nice. Yeah. So he makes fun of us, calling us Bugs Bunny and that. That's literally what. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so he's calling.
I'm sorry, my
mum's cleaning the car on the drive or getting something out the boot or something. I can't quite remember. And this kid's still going for us. My mum runs over like furious, like steaming over, and she goes, she says to him, "Well, he might have teeth that stick out, but at least he doesn't look like a big fat ugly monster."
Sure, I remember that.
This is meant to be Ethan's roast, not yours.
Back and forth.
You better big fat ugly monster.
Yeah.
Oh, and so what did funny. You do when she said that to you?
Oh, no, crying. I'm going to go back to the thick table.
Ethan, we just wanted you to come back to our table.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, nativity then, you talked to us about that because Ethan was a big actor at school.
He was a big actor later on at school.
No, okay.
No, his first acting parts were not a success.
No.
No, so nativity play, which for a mother Your two mums will know this.
Big day, yeah.
Big day when your child is first in the nativity play.
Yeah.
And I arrived, having taken the morning off work, which was not an easy thing to do. You didn't just easily get a morning off work. Off I went, rocked up, sat with all the mums, and was ready to watch my little boy come out, dressed in his whatever.
So you're hoping for, what are you hoping for? Joseph would be great.
Yeah.
The three wise men, wow. That'd be
amazing.
That'd be
he is wise as well.
The kings, you'd love that. Any of those are the big parts.
Even Mary.
Any.
You take a Mary. So.
So I sat there and all the kids came out. No Ethan. And I was like, right. And then the head teacher came over and very quietly said, I'm really sorry. Ethan's struggling with this today. And when I looked, he was sitting behind the piano on the floor, having refused to wear the outfit.
No, Ethan!
And did not come out at all.
Really didn't come out at all?
He was the only child in the whole school who didn't perform.
What was he meant to be?
He was meant to be a shepherd.
Oh, that's a decent
role.
That's
a great role, Ethan.
What happened? Why didn't you want to go out?
I don't recall this, I'm afraid. But I think my mum might say, I think it happened again the following year.
Did it happen again?
Yeah.
It didn't happen again.
So the following year, I did see him, but he was sat on the teacher's knee.
Oh,
and didn't get off and didn't sing any of the songs that we'd practiced for weeks.
Why were you so shy? Because it's not just taking the mic. What I used to be quite similar to that. We did like a Halloween disco at school.
Right.
And I was Dracula in the mirror.
Wow, big role.
But the thing, well, no, it's, you just turn up as what you want.
Oh, right.
It's not a play. It's
so I thought
just,
Halloween Disco was the name of the play.
No. Right. It's just a disco. And I went as Dracula, and I got into the playground, and I wouldn't come out from behind my what's it called, my cape. And I refused to go in, and I ran home. Because I was too scared that people would see me in fancy dress. So was it something like that, Ethan?
You ran home, Drew?
Yeah, well, I made my mum take me home. I ran out the playground.
Can't personally remember, but after that, I think I gained a bit of confidence because I then was Jeremy Kyle for my primary school production.
What happened there?
That was brilliant.
What was it?
He really was. He was in a... They did like a play with lots of kids in it and he pretended to be Jeremy Kyle.
Like, who's the father in that? It was like a DNA test.
So was it Mary and Joseph?
Yeah,
the chairs.
God's there.
Who's the dad?
It could have been. It wasn't quite as vulgar, but he was there in the. He was being Jeremy Kyle and actually did a cracking impersonation of him. It was really funny.
That wouldn't have worked in my school because I think two or three of the parents had actually been on Jeremy Kyle. So that would have been bringing back PTSD memories for a lot of them. There's a lot of people in workshop going Jeremy Kyle. Yeah. A lad who I used to play football with growing up, he went on Jeremy Kyle.
What was his storyline?
I can't remember, but he used to end every sentence with the word man. And one time. And he'd say like, oh, what are you doing tonight, man? But even if the sentence ended with the word man, he'd still put man on the end. So he'd be like, have you seen the lollipop man?
No, he would say man.
He used to say man. So yeah, he ended up on Jeremy Kyle.
My five-a-side referee was on Jeremy Kyle. He ended up calling the woman on there a raccoon. I don't know if you've seen that
is
clip.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about some of the earlier stories that we got off Ethan James, especially in episode one? Yeah. He said some brilliant stuff.
Go on.
Getting stuck in a train engine.
Oh, that
you
is
there?
Absolutely true. Yeah.
What
that
happened?
Was a nightmare. That was Ethan at the York Railway Museum.
That's his best.
Oh, my
his
God.
Best.
So there was he was three.
Yeah.
But tiny. Ethan was really very, very
love
small.
I'd love to have a little Ethan.
Oh, have any photos you could share?
Not with me, but I can send you some cracking photos of tiny Ethan. So we were at the York Railway Museum and he climbed up onto an old steam engine.
Were you keeping any sort of eye on him or just kind of
let
him...
you let him go, don't you?
Well, you let your kids climb on the...
Yeah.
Of course, ignoring the sign that said, do not climb on the engine.
Ethan,
ignoring it.
He climbed up and inside this, where the driver's cab was the coal hole where you shovel the coal out. So imagine this, the hole's not very big. And he put his head through to have a look. And of course, next thing I knew, he'd gone in. But the great big thing behind it, everything was, it was all covered in. There was a roof on the top. It was pitch black.
Yeah,
and he'd gone through
it.
The hole. So I'm peering through. So Ethan come back out. And he'd gone. He went crawling through this coal truck.
Oh, my God.
And he wouldn't come out.
So he's described... You don't remember this, do you, Ethan?
No.
How long was he in there for?
Oh, an hour and a half.
An hour and a half!
It was a nightmare. All the staff came. Everyone was really cross with me. And then they were trying to entice him out. And everyone's going, how are we going to get him out?
Cheese?
And you cheese.
And new teeth?
Cheesy Watsits. Trying to feed
like Hansel
him
and Gretel and him out of the thing. Like one Watsits.
Yeah.
Cheesy
Watsits. Yeah.
Is that how we got him out?
He was sitting. You could see him. And everyone's saying, you need to come out. Nope. I said, you really need to come out now. Nope. And he was there for ages. Oh. And when he came out, he was covered in coal dust.
Oh, God.
From literally...
From the coal hole.
From the fucking coal hole.
Head to toe in coal. That's great. You'd have been a great chimney sweep, I think.
Thank you.
He's a sort of 10, 11-year-old. He would have been a great size for it, wouldn't he? In the Victorian times.
Was he all right getting told off? Or did he get a bit shy when he got told off?
No, he was quite all right getting told off, I think, yeah. He didn't get told off very often. Mm. In general.
Yeah.
But he could take it. Mm.
Can you tell us a bit about this mystery of Wark?
Wark.
And where these... We love all the different animals you've got, the pets.
Tell
us a little bit about... Tell us a little bit about Wark. Paint a picture for us.
Okay, so we had a cottage up in Wark, and Wark is a little village in Northumberland.
It sounds like the word is being said wrong every time it's said, but how is it spelled? W-A-R-K?
Yes.
So it is Wark.
It is Wark.
But you think it must, but it feels like it's not, but it
well,
is.
Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it should, you would think it'd be Wark.
Yeah.
But we're in Northumberland.
Of course.
So it's Wark.
Yeah. So they had you had a cottage up there.
Yeah.
And what was, how often did you go there? What was it for?
Right,
was it like a holiday?
The cottage, so my husband, John, he had that cottage for about 20 years. And it was a rental.
Yeah.
On occasions, he had stayed in it for quite a long time, but generally, it was a weekend place. Mm-hmm. It had no electricity. It had running water, but the water was heated by a coal fire.
Ethan was straight in. Ethan, come out. No.
You want a bath, don't you?
So we had candles. It had a very old arga. And it was freezing cold, filthy, dirty. And we did have several cats who lived up there in the week. That was their main residence. And then on a weekend, we would go up and see
the
cats.
Do you remember the cats? Who were some of your favourites?
We had three main ones. So there was Smarmy.
Smarmy.
So
where did that come from? We need to get to the bottom of this. Because Ethan just said it was called Smarmy Puke. Or something like that. And then he said why? And he said because that's the colour. But... what is that? No one's ever heard of that.
No. It was Smarmy Puke because it rhymed with Marmaduke. Oh. But he used to...
So that was just not right, Ethan.
Yeah.
So it rhymed with Marmaduke.
Yeah, so he was a big... Smarmy was a big ginger cat.
Right.
Then there was Rizzler.
So did
named
you actually
after
buy
the cigarette paper.
He Ethan said that you went to buy Rizzlers and come back with a cat.
Muddled up memory.
Ethan, have you just been lying the whole time?
there were many Rizzler papers at the cottage, is true. And Rizzler would drool a lot.
No, that's Rambo.
Oh, Rambo drooled a lot.
Yeah. So,
Rizzler would lie on people's heads.
Yeah.
What was wrong with Rambo, do we think?
Rambo was just a foul special needs cat. He dripped and he slavered. Yeah.
What happened to them all? Would you get back and one of them would be missing or one of them would be gone?
Demba.
Let's just Demba say how it is.
Demba. Oh, Demba cat.
Ethan's basically painted a picture of you killing pretty much everyone.
Oh, no, we loved them. They all lasted a long time, these cats. Smarmy was 17 or 18 when he disappeared. Oh, yeah, he was an old one. Demba did only last one day.
One day?
What happened?
He ran away.
He ran away? Oh, no. No one ever saw him again.
Oh. Well, Ethan, did you want to explain? What we think Demba ended up in the village of Wark.
Really? It's like one of those like pub cats. Wow. They still talk about Demba to this day.
What were the other animals, Ethan, that didn't last very long?
Davros.
Davros 1 and Davros 2.
Davros 1, Davros 2. We had the rabbits, Daisy, and what's the other one called?
Oh, my God.
Some guinea pigs in there as well.
Some guinea biscuit fudge.
Wasn't there a goldfish that he accidentally...
Oh, no, that's at uni, the goldfish.
Boiled alive.
Yeah, boiled it alive by leaving him in the window. Greenhouse effect kind of thing. Other pets. I'm trying to remember how they died. Oh, Finley Cat died from drinking antifreeze.
Yeah.
Where was it? Where on the Wednesday?
I mean, he did.
That wasn't our fault.
But how could
it? Is antifreeze?
What was he doing? You went, Finley, you're gonna have to top this antifreeze up, mate. Don't drink it. And as he was topping
how
did he get into
Finley
it?
Finley drank somebody else's antifreeze. So, have you not heard of this? How people kill cats with antifreeze? You not know about that? So if cats go in your garden, there was a big spate of this. Well, there was in our area. Maybe it doesn't happen in Manchester. But where people would put antifreeze in the garden, and if the cat went in the garden and made a mess and drank the antifreeze, it basically would die.
Wow.
It's very cruel.
It's very cruel. It is cruel.
Yeah.
Oh. Let's move on to Ethan's teenage years. What was he like when the teenage...
When puberty hits, he shot up. All 5'5". Yeah?
Yeah.
He's gone from being a small kid to a giant.
Was he reckless?
Did he have that... Was he getting girlfriends, boyfriends? What was the sort of 13 to 16-year-old Ethan
like?
Oh,
my God. Girlfriends and boyfriends, not particularly.
No.
Not that bothered.
Did you not have any, no?
No. No, liked football better than anything. Yeah. Went to acting classes for a while.
Love this. Yeah. Wonderful. That's
Yeah. He went to the Live Theatre in Newcastle.
Nice.
And performed there.
Have we got any footage of that? Do you have any?
Do you have any footage of
that? Don't know that we
have. What was
it?
What play was it?
Oh my God, Ethan, what was the play called?
I can't remember what.
Can't you remember any of this?
Do you remember?
Curious Incident of the Dead Dog in the Nighttime. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, and drama class at school. Yeah. You were in quite a few things, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, I never done the productions though, because it would just be full of fannies running around singing and dancing and that, and I'm not really.
That's kind of the whole point of acting and stage performance, though, isn't it?
I was doing the proper stuff.
Oh, you like the hard-hitting Daniel Day-Lewis
sort of... Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Yeah.
What is that? That's about an autistic boy that kills a dog, isn't it?
That's exactly it. I've
read that book.
Yeah, yeah. He killed all the cats. He was method.
No training required.
Yeah, been killing cats for years. He turned up to the audition with antifreeze. What are you worried about? I've got a trick.
Who wants this dog killing anyway?
No, it's good. Right. And so he's well behaved, was he?
He was pretty well behaved. Yeah. The school that he went to was very strict.
Yeah, this is like, he talks about this school, very, very religious, very strict.
Yeah.
He was talking about teaching about heaven and hell in like science classes and stuff. What is that? Is that the sort of household beliefs system? Is it the best school in the area? But like, why did he end up there?
Right, okay, it was the best school in the area.
Was it?
Household belief? No.
Right, okay.
The school believed in, I don't know if you've heard of it, creationism.
Oh okay. No. What's
so
that?
Creationism is basically a fundamental belief, yeah. And it sort of goes against science and Darwin. Mm.
Oh,
so
really?
It's sort of a
It's like the whole universe is 5,000 years old or something to that effect, isn't it? So no dinosaurs, no evolution, none of that.
No evolution.
What trips did he go on then for that?
Skiing trip.
Oh, sorry.
They believe in that.
they believe in skiing.
Going downhill really quick is something Jesus absolutely loved. So. Yeah. He describes this school with like, what was it? What was your teacher called that was in? What's his name's book?
Mr. Layfield was my physics teacher, and like my mum said, so creationism. It was creationism, but like to the point of, the world was created in 7 days, and there's no dispute in that. It's not like it was poetic. It was literally 7 days, 6,000
like
years
the
old.
Clock. Yeah, 7 days later,
yeah. And Mr. Layfield was in the Richard Dawkins book, The God Delusion. And Richard Dawkins was basically slagging off our school for the teaching that they give us. So we'd get taught things like, well, how are the fossils? Because surely they date back so far. That proves that the world's like 6,000 years old. And you go, that's a very good point, but I don't know, it must have been something like a massive flood must have occurred of a sudden, which pressed down everything on the surface, which meant it fossilised a lot quicker than we think. So we get little things like that.
Away from that's interesting. So, but then he goes to college and uni, all good there, was he all right? Any moments where you're like, oh, Ethan James?
All the time.
Really?
from the minute he set off to Manchester. I have to say, I was a bit worried about Manchester.
Why?
Well, it's a bit rough, isn't it? We're from Newcastle.
Is Newcastle like smaller, a bit more quaint than Manchester? Because I've been to Newcastle. It's nice.
Did he have some good nights out? You know, when he went to Newcastle.
Well, the first night that he was here by himself, I'd dropped him off and waved him goodbye and cried all the way home, as mums do.
Easy as well.
And then the second day, he rang me up to say one of his friends had been mugged.
That's got Ethan's biggest laugh. Yeah. What happened?
Well, I must be honest, this has happened a few times, so what? I'm trying to put it down. I think it might... I don't want to do many dirty, but I think it might have been Wob. Wob might have been. Is it Wob? Was it Wob, Mum? Do you remember?
It was the lad that you met on holiday.
Duncan.
Yeah, he got mugged.
Duncan got mugged.
Oh,
Wob got
Duncan.
Robbed.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Is he all right? No, he's dead.
Yeah.
Robbed of his life.
No, he did get mugged, yeah. I can't quite remember the story in great detail, but we did have a few... I've had a few close shaves with... I've once got mugged before, nearly.
Did you?
I don't know if I've talked about this. Yeah, I was...
How do you nearly get mugged?
So I was coming back from the nightclub 42s. And I was walking back with my friend Matt, who was being a martyr, so I had to stay behind to keep him under my supervision. And then it was just me and him walking back, and then this big group of lads surrounded me, acting all like, "Oh, hey lads, do you want to buy drugs?" And I'm going, "Nope, I'm not a drug user like you." And then
always a slight air of animosity with Ethan, like you.
Yeah, and then they started surrounding me in a circle, and Matt as well. And one of the lads put his legs between my legs to stop me moving and started like acting all like cheering, like, "Oh no, do you want to buy anything?" And I spotted
Ethan,
him. Mate. And he put his hand in my pocket and I saw him take my phone out. So I grabbed my phone back off him and shoved him and ran away.
Oh, yeah. That was nearly getting mugged, actually.
Thank you.
I don't know how we got into Crime Watch then. Just all of a sudden, I like it as well. We'll try and solve that, Ethan. I want to do your 9 out of 10 club for next week.
Okay.
But can you, and we can always have this in our minds, can you tell us what you'd like us to try and eat next week? And we will do it.
Tell us why you like it so much.
Will you do it? Okay. So, and my apologies for not bringing this. I think that you should do the instant porridge pot.
Okay. The Quakers.
Well, you can get cheap versions in the Co-op if you need to, but yeah, Quakers. I'd go Quakers all the way.
Yeah.
Golden syrup flavour, apple and blueberry flavour. Original's okay as well.
Yeah. So your technique, nothing.
Technique is filter the line.
Some people put a little bit of milk in it. Oh. Do you put just filter line and then you're away?
I do. And the reason, I sometimes put a bit of extra fruit in or a bit of muesli on the top to just make it a bit more crunchy.
Oh.
But it's my go-to meal that you can have in your car. So if you're somewhere and you haven't got time to buy your lunch or you're overrunning in a meeting or on a train, I quite often take a porridge pot.
But where are you getting the hot water from?
I ask the nice lady on the trolley to fill up my porridge pot.
What if you're in the car?
I take a flask.
Do you? Brilliant. A flask of boiling water. But do you think, because obviously you've described it as being quite functional and helpful in a time of need, but do you think it is the quality's there for it to be a 9 out of 10? Do you like it that much?
Do you know what, I really do enjoy a porridge pot, because when you haven't got a lot of time, it's a lovely meal. It does fill you up. So if you have, so sometimes I drive quite early, so I might head off at 6 o'clock, have my porridge pot at 7. Then it'll keep me going all the way till lunchtime.
Love it.
Nice. So we'll have that next week.
So
before we do finish, what do you make of where Ethan is now and what
he's
doing?
That was going to be my final question as well.
Because
you've
described a child that was, we've been through the whole thing, he's in train engines, he's not coming out for plays, he's fighting people on the street, he's boiling fish alive at uni, he's getting mugged left, right, and
centre. There's positives as well. There's some positives,
of course. But now he's here, he's got a job, he's doing this podcast, people love him. What do you make of what Ethan does? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Are you embarrassed by it? Or are you proud of him? How do you feel about him?
I love it. I love it. I do. Yeah, I'm dead proud of him.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
One of the final questions, actually, Joe, to just trump your question, was someone said, if Ethan's... Yeah, well, you can ask it if you want.
No.
if when Ethan got circumcised, what happened to the what happened to do you want to finish on this? What happened to the
nub,
the bit, the
squid ring?
Did you get to keep it, like, you know, when you keep your kid's tooth?
I've got his umbilical cord, actually. And his teeth. I should have put it in the same little box. In the Ethan box.
Mum, I've put my foreskin under my pillow for the tooth fairy.
I'm gutted. I hope he's still got it.
Yeah, they might have still
We can add it to the little... But your mums have somewhere. Got those little boxes of memorabilia
I've
about you.
I think she's got it.
Ethan, how was this episode?
Eric Morecambe.
It's been been anxiety all the way through, but I think we've got through it okay. Nearly got through to the last hurdle of not asking about circumcisions, but that happened anyway. And
you
there
can
we
call
are.
On any show you want. Even pop say hello on our live show. We're going to do a birthday show in April. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You should come by and say hello. Is that right with you, Ethan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Would you like
to
take us out, Ethan?
Take you out?
As in, wrap up the show. Say thank you to the guests. And
well, this has been the Sloppy Drew's podcast with the special guest, my mum, and hope you've enjoyed it. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for coming on.
Say bye, mum.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Say bye, mum.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.